Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, right here on Revolution Radio Live, this 26th day of January, 2024. The International Court of Justice had ordered Israel to prevent genocide. The International Court of Justice today found South Africa's assertion that Israel is committing genocide plausible. South Africa basically won the case. They, the International Court of Justice, agreed that they, South Africa, had jurisdiction, that they have standing, that some of the assertions South Africa has alleged are certainly taking place and fall within the definition of the Genocide Convention. Al Jazeera summarized the ICJ's ruling as follows. The court says it has jurisdiction to rule in the case. The court orders Israel to take measures to prevent acts of genocide in the Gaza Strip, must report back in 1 month. The court says Israel must prevent and punish incitement to genocide. The court says Israel must allow humanitarian aid into the Strip. The court obliges Israel to take more measures to protect Palestinians, but does not order it to end military operations in the Strip. Critics are saying the court didn't go far enough in its ordered remedy. Obviously, the order to allow humanitarian aid and prevent the deaths of innocent civilians make no sense if Israel is allowed to continue killing hundreds of innocents each day while pulverizing Gaza. A clear-cut ceasefire order would have been better than an implied one. The significance of the ruling is not that it will quickly stop the genocide. Even a ceasefire order wouldn't have been obeyed, but rather that it put Israel's ongoing 75-year genocide of Palestine in the international spotlight. Whatever happens in Gaza, the case will drag on for years. The words Israel and genocide have been permanently linked as synonyms rather than antonyms. Israel's excuse for invading Palestine and murdering and expelling Palestinians has always been the classic psychopath pity play. We are genocide victims. The current war in Gaza has flipped the equation and exposed the truth. From now on, Israel will be correctly viewed as a nation of genocide perpetrators. And as I've explained before many times, the whole claim of having been subjected to genocide at the end of World War II were fabrications manufactured deliberately as propaganda to promote the creation of the State of Israel. Meanwhile, the Biden Navy has been forced to retreat in the face of Houthi attacks. This is quite striking. American ships are once again being attacked by terrorists in the Middle East. Houthi terrorists fired three anti-ship missiles at the U.S. flag container ship, MV Mark Detroit, in the Gulf of Aden. In the Gulf of Aden, U.S. Central Command announced yesterday one missile hit the sea while the USS Gravely successfully intercepted and shot down the other two missiles. There were no injuries or damage reported to the ship. The Houthi terrorists are backed by Iran. The attack highlights the ongoing threat posed by Iranian-backed groups in the region. The Houthi model isn't subtle. God is great. Death to America. Death to Israel. A curse upon the Jews. Victory to Islam, said U.S. Senator Tom Cotton. This is a group that Joe Biden removed from the foreign terrorist list, allowing them to build up arms and threaten American sailors. A full press account from CENTCOM. Iranian-backed Houthi terrorists fired three anti-ship ballistic missiles from Houthi-controlled areas of Yemen toward the U.S.-flagged, owned, and operated container ship MV Maersk Detroit, transiting the Gulf of Aden. One missile impacted in the sea. The other two were successfully engaged and shot down by the Gravely. No reported injuries or damage to the ship. But the situation, of course, is becoming very treacherous. Here we have Judge Napolitano with Scott Ritter.
Judge Andrew Napolitano here for Judging Freedom. There's a familiar phrase. Scott Ritter joins us back from his home studio after 3 weeks in Russia. Scott, what a pleasure, my dear friend. Welcome back to the show. I think you were in Russia for about 3 weeks. So I want to start out with your general impressions of the Russian people, their relationship to their government, and the special military operation in Ukraine.
Well, the first thing I'll point out is I went there during a very special time for the Russian people, New Year's, which is their big winter celebration. And then now that Russia in the post-Soviet era has re-embraced the Orthodox faith, the Orthodox Christmas is also a very big deal. And to see, you know, I think we've talked before about my visit in May, and I talked about the Victory Day and how important it was to be in Russia on May 9th and see the Russian people and how they responded to Victory Day. It was the same thing to be in Russia and see the people as they responded to New Year's. This is not a nation that's cowed. This is a nation that is falling back in love with itself. The decade of the 90s, it will never be forgotten because it's seared into the memory of every Russian who was alive back then, the same way that the Second World War was seared into the memories of the veterans. It was a debacle, a catastrophe. And the fact that Vladimir Putin has led Russia out of this catastrophe and made Russia what it is today, despite all of the efforts of the collective West to not just undermine Russia, but to destroy Russia. I think Sergei Lavrov has said it correct in recent statements. The policy of the United States is to destroy Russia, not to be friends with Russia, not to contain Russia, to destroy Russia, to defeat Russia. And despite all that, the Russian people are alive and well and living. If you were in Moscow during this period of time, you would have seen a city that is alive and vibrant, full of people who are enjoying life, stores that are full of goods. The same in St. Petersburg, to see, you know, the second largest city just thriving. The Russian people know that there's a war going on. There's no doubt in anybody's mind that there is this conflict taking place. They're not cocky. They're not overconfident, but they are steeled with a resolve that says we are seeing this through until the end, and the end will only come with a Russian victory. So it doesn't matter what, you know, a daily analyst says, you know, this happened, that happened. It doesn't matter because they don't care about the daily stuff. They're in it for the long run. They're in it to win. And I will tell you this, the senior political figures that I met with, the military commanders I met with, they're winning it this year. They are determined that this conflict is coming to an end on terms that will be dictated by Russia. So that's what I saw in Russia, just a people who love their nation as much as any American could love their nation, love their culture. They love their history, and they love their leader. And again, in America, we tend to demonize this guy, Vladimir Putin, say he's not a Jeffersonian Democrat, never was meant to be, but he is a Russian Democrat. He is of the people. And the people right now overwhelmingly support him, support what he's doing, and believe in him because they remember literally 30 years ago what was going on in Russia. They know what happens if you get too close to the West. If you buy into, the lies of the West, they're not going to do it anymore. This is a Russia that has embraced the notion of self-sufficiency and true independence. And it was beautiful to see. Again, I'm American. They always ask me, are you pro-Russian? Are you for Russia? And my response was, no, not just no, but hell no. I'm an American. I'm pro-America. I'm for America. But the best thing that America can do is be friends with Russia. And that's what I'm trying to promote, U.S.-Russian friendship.
What?
I think that Scott Ritter is sensational, but the key story developing right here in the U.S., Texas National Guard responds to Supreme Court order by installing more razor wire. The Texas National Guard Tuesday responded to the Supreme Court's order allowing the Biden regime to cut or remove razor wire by installing more razor wire. This was completely appropriate. This, it turns out, to be the ninth time the Supreme Court is siding with the Biden regime out of 14 emergency applications. I'm very, very troubled by the development. The fact that Amy Coney Barrett and John Roberts were on the wrong side here is quite shocking. Texas will not back down, declares the governor. Meanwhile, Wayne Root, very thoughtful conservative guy, says out loud what others only whisper. Come on, admit, you know, you're thinking the same thing. It's so obvious, just common sense. Anyone who isn't at least wondering is a naive fool. I grew up in an all-Italian mafia neighborhood in New York. I know when the fix is in. I know when someone has taken a bribe. I know when the mafias are hooks into someone. Something is wrong with our United States Supreme Court. Something smells to high heaven. Something is hinky. Someone had been bribed, threatened, intimidated, or extorted. This just isn't normal. It makes no sense. Conservatives have the edge, not just 5-4, but a safe, overwhelming 6-3. We should be winning every major Supreme Court case. What appears that John Roberts is being manipulated and controlled because of illegal adoptions of two children from Ireland. And when I sought to explain that with Scott Bennett on his Global Awakening show Tuesday, he beat me to the punch by saying Amy Coney Barrett has similar adoption problems. Something's going on here. This is absolutely not right. Meanwhile, the Texas governor has released a statement. I have declared an invasion under Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3 to invoke Texas constitutional authority to defend and protect itself. This is his story. Governor Abbott issued a statement on Texas' constitutional right to defend and protect itself as President Biden continues to attack Texas and refuse to perform his duties to secure the border. The executive branch of the United States has a constitutional duty to enforce federal laws protecting states, including immigration laws on the books right now. Here's a statement. Governor Greg Abbott, January 24th. The federal government has broken the compact between the United States and the states. The executive branch of the United States has a constitutional duty to enforce federal laws protecting states, including immigration laws on the books right now. President Biden has refused to enforce those laws, has even violated them. The result is he has smashed records for illegal immigration. Despite having been put on notice in a series of letters, one of which I delivered to him by hand, President Biden has ignored Texas' demand that he perform his constitutional duties. 3 bullet points. President Biden has violated his oath to faithfully execute immigration laws enacted by Congress. Instead of prosecuting immigrants for the federal crime of illegal entry, President Biden has sent his lawyers into federal court to sue Texas for taking action to secure the border. And President Biden has instructed his agency to ignore federal statutes that mandate the detention of illegal immigrants. The effect is to illegally allow their en masse parole into the United States. And by wasting taxpayer dollars to tear open Texas border security infrastructure, President Biden has enticed illegal immigrants away from the 28 legal entry points along the state's southern border, bridges where nobody drowns, and into the dangerous waters of the Rio Grande. Under President Biden's lawless border policies, more than 6 million illegal immigrants have crossed our southern border in just 3 years. That is more than the population of 33 different states in this country. This illegal refusal to protect the states has inflicted unprecedented harm on the people all across the United States. James Madison, Alexander Hamilton, and other visionaries who wrote the U.S. Constitution foresaw that states should not be left to the mercy of a lawless president who does nothing to stop external threats like cartels smuggling millions of illegals across the border. That's why the framers included both Article 4, Section 4, which provides the federal government shall protect each state against invasion, and Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3, acknowledging the state's sovereign interest in protecting their borders, Arizona v. United States, 2012. The failure of the Biden administration to fulfill the duties imposed by Article 4, Section 4, has triggered Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3, which reserves to this state the right of self-defense. For these reasons, I've already declared an invasion under Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3, to invoke Texas constitutional authority to defend and protect itself. That authority is the supreme law of the land and supersedes any federal statutes to the contrary. The Texas National Guard, the Texas Department of Public Safety, and other Texas personnel are acting on that authority as well as state law to secure the Texas border. Well said. Virtually an article of impeachment against the present president, who we know is fraudulent. Thus, no mas, no more. We're denying illegal entry. Showdown. Biden regime orders Texas to hand over control of border defense by Friday from information liberation. Very serious. Drew Hernandez. Breaking. The Biden administration responded to Texas and is giving Governor Greg Abbott until the 26th today to return control to the feds over the contested locations at the Texas southern border. Another, the real fly. Biden issues a 24-hour deadline to comply with court ruling and turn over border control to federal government or face consequences. Unspecified. 25 Republican governors have voiced support for Abbott's standoff with the feds. Here's Jason Joan reporting. We stand in solidarity with our fellow governor, Greg Abbott, and the state of Texas in utilizing every tool and strategy. We have a map here. Very, very impressive. Here's Greg Abbott. Half of America joins Texas in asserting our constitutional right of self-defense under Article 1, Section 10. Stemming from Joe Biden's refusal to enforce immigration laws. His actions have caused an unprecedented invasion that we must defend against. We'll soon find out, adds the author, whether Abbott is all hat and no cattle, where he says, I suspect the latter. I, however, believe Abbott is going to stand firm. U.S. tech workers tweet. Does Greg Abbott think the Indian outsourcing companies he's helped expand in Texas are doing so to benefit Texans? In other words, Abbott right now is off in India. $1.4 billion investment is really about helping offshore U.S. jobs to India while replacing Texans with cheap foreign labor. But the invasion at the border, this is very significant, responding to a tweet from Abbott, saying, today in New Delhi, I was proud to highlight Texas as a premier economic destination in America. The Republicans are gearing up for a new civil war. Abbott is currently in India working on outsourcing their jobs. Here's another, Greg Abbott. Another great day in New Delhi, from meeting with government leaders to connecting with the next generation of Indian business leaders. This mission has helped foster even stronger ties between India and Texas. Here we have a report about it, a newscast about what's going on.
Greg Abbott is once again challenging federal authorities on the border. He's saying Texas has a right to self-defense because he believes the federal government is not doing enough. Despite a U.S. Supreme Court ruling earlier this week, the governor posted a photo on social media saying that Texas continues to deploy razor wire to, quote, repel illegal immigration, end quote. A spokesperson for Texas DPS also posted video showing the Texas National Guard reinforcing barriers along the Rio Grande and Eagle Pass. On Monday, the Supreme Court ruled that Border Patrol agents could cut through and remove razor wire Texas installed along the border with Mexico because that was preventing Border Patrol agents from being able to do their jobs. Now, this afternoon, the governor released a statement saying that he believes the federal government has broken the compact between the country and states. He claims that President Biden is refusing to enforce border and immigration law, and that's a violation of the Constitution. The governor's statement goes on to say that Texas is invoking its constitutional authority to defend itself by using the Texas National Guard and the Department of Public Safety to secure the border. We reached out to the White House for comment on the governor's statement, but have not yet heard back. Greg Abbott is one.
Meanwhile, while the Biden regime is already fighting proxy wars with Russia, Gaza, Iran, and Yemen, let's see them invade Texas yet to throw open the border and further facilitate an illegal alien invasion, concludes Information Liberation. It seemed very clear the Constitution is on the side of Texas. The U.S. Constitution gives the states a right and duty to protect themselves from invasion when the federal government fails to do so. Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3. No state shall, without the consent of Congress, lay any duty of tonnage, keep troops or ships of war in times of peace, enter into any agreement or compact with another state or the foreign power, or engage in war unless actually invaded or in such imminent danger as will not admit of delay. Two footnotes there. 2 to 3 million aliens per year are being transported from the open southern border across America. Most are unvetted fighting age men. And Mexican drug cartels are now de facto in charge of our southern border. They're establishing cartel criminal gang control over our southwest states, and they are flooding America with fentanyl, killing more than 100,000 per year. Indeed, in addition, Article 4, Section 4, the guaranteed clause. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion. Here we have Jason Jones, border update. 25 Republican governors have now issued a joint statement in support of Texas in its border dispute with a Biden admin. We stand in solidarity with our fellow governor, Greg Abbott, and the state of Texas in utilizing every tool and strategy, including razor wire fences, to secure the border. We do it in part because the Biden admin is refusing to enforce immigration laws already on the books and is illegally allowing mass parole across America of migrants who enter our country illegally. Here's more now. This is from Blaze. Yes, Texas has the right to defend itself, Glenn Beck writes. The Biden admin has let in a whole new Colorado, a whole new Wisconsin, and a whole new Oregon. And we don't even know who these people are, meaning, of course, population equivalents. Texas is facing another Alamo. We're in a constitutional crisis. Governor Greg Abbott, on Wednesday, wrote a letter to the American people and Joe Biden, and he defined his authority and the authority of the United States. But first, let me take you back to 1787. The Constitutional Convention came down to this question: where do states' rights end and federal government begin? Many states didn't want to join the Union because they didn't believe the federal government was going to hold up its end of the bargain. States had to give up a large portion of their sovereignty and authority to join the Union. How could they be sure that the federal government would uphold their rights now being tested? Don Bongino tweets, Biden is totally effed, and he did it to himself because he's a moron. Now, he can either use force or the threat of it to force Texas law enforcement to assist in the invasion of their state in front of television cameras for the world to watch, or he can fold and sliver away on the issue knowing he's getting destroyed at the polls for supporting this invasion at the southern border. Either way, he loses because he's a moron. I stand with Texas. I, too, stand with Texas. Here's Marjorie Taylor Greene. We're going to impeach Mayorkas immediately. I'm proud to enforce the floor vote on my Mayorkas articles of impeachment, which are now being shaped and marked up for our Homeland Committee. Now that 25 governors are staying with Texas, the Biden admin will cease its effort to continue its illegal invasion. Meanwhile, Mike Adams writes, stop the invasion. 25 states join Texas as Civil War battle lines are drawn. Following the treasonous U.S. Supreme Court order demanding Texas allow an unlimited invasion of enemy combatants who seek the total destruction of America, now 25 states have joined Texas in defying the unconstitutional lunacy from Washington, D.C. Trump is now asking all 25 states to send National Guard troops to Texas in support of border protection, and it's clear that the battle lines for the coming civil war are being drawn up now. Fake President Joe Biden appears to be on a course that will seek to use the U.S. military to assault and kill Americans in order to protect the foreign invaders who are destroying this country. Things are about to get interesting, as they say. Let me confirm. Interesting indeed, and I'll be joined by my special guests when we return from this break.
I'd like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Chat.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I have two special featured guests today, Rafa from Moose News and Eric Clark, who have a couple of important subjects to discuss, but they do fade in significance to what we've just heard from the International Court of Justice finding Israel guilty of genocide and the confrontation between Texas and the federal government. So if either Rafa or Eric have comments on those breaking stories are welcome before we turn to other issues, including the death of David Crowley, who was producing a film called Gray State. It was going to expose aspects of the United States, its government and operations that forces did not want to happen. He winds up dead in a grisly death that has yet to be explained. Rafa, Eric, welcome to the show. Rafa, your thoughts.
Hey. Yeah, well, first, can you hear me?
Yeah, very well.
I have to say that I missed the highlights of the show at the beginning. I had to reinstall Zoom 8,000 times for this to work. But I'm here with a genuine J6 defendant, the lovely Eric Clark, whose trial begins on the 29th, so in 3 days. So we'll be talking a little bit about January 6th and the murder of the Crowley family, the investigation that I'm working on after the January 6th fake surrection, if you will. What am I allowed to say on here on this?
This is a free speech channel, Rafa. You can say anything you want. But let me just check with Eric as a January 6th participant who's been punished and who may be confronted with imprisonment. Eric, did you have any thoughts about the confrontation between Texas and the federal government over the southern border you'd like to add right off the bat?
I do. Actually, I think you pointed it out pretty quick into it, that it seems as though we have justices that are compromised, right, that are not doing the right thing, that it's clear, it's black and white that the federal government has an obligation to protect the states. And it kind of makes you wonder, a time where another convention of states and a fresh ratification or clarification for the federal government as to what their duties actually are isn't in need.
Yeah, of course, January 6th was another contrived event, a fabricated event to try to smear conservative Trump supporters, right wing of any kind, as domestic terrorists. I believe the ultimate objective is, when civil war does break out and Biden has to declare martial law, they can round up a whole lot of militia members and Trump supporters as domestic terrorists. And frankly, under martial law, they may be subjected to summary trial and execution. We had that following the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, where millions of Russians were simply rounded up and executed. It was a horror beyond imagining. Something Americans can't wrap their minds around, but Eric, I bet you can, having gone through what you have, which is completely absurd, unlawful, unconstitutional. Give us further thoughts.
Absolutely. So I've actually filed a lawsuit that points towards those regards against starting out Ray Epps and Michael Gordon in the state of Utah for their co-conspiring, right? It leaves room to add plenty more as discovery makes names available. But that's pretty much what it sums up, is how they use this First Amendment protected event to chill our First Amendment rights and to sort of use it. I think they wanted it to be much worse, their fake insurrection, and to use it in a much similar way as that Hitler used the Reichstag fire and to bring in the Reichstag fire decree and then just start going after his political opponents in very harsh ways. And they're already doing that here. Let me tell you, there's no due process applied to a January 6th defendant's case. I'm charged with four misdemeanors, and it's been 3 years since I was initially indicted, and I'm finally seeing a courtroom.
Eric, it's outrageous, and, you know, I was FBI, maybe even DOD, and it appears General Milley delayed a National Guard response, even though Trump had requested it, in order to allow the situation to evolve. Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer appear to have been the brain trust behind it, the mayor of Washington. The DNC, no doubt, was deeply involved. My guess is there were hundreds of FBI assets in that crowd, including some were inciting, like Ray Epps, among the most prominent, yet Epps had been given a very mild sentence compared to others who have even been in solitary confinement. I mean, Eric, this is as outrageous a violation of American law and due process as I can imagine or have ever witnessed in my life.
Well, I'm glad you're seeing it, Jim, because a lot of people aren't. Right? A lot of people are. We have a lot of support out there, but quite often you run into that attitude, right? The people just watch what they see on their TV and they take it at face value, and that's not at all what occurred on January 6th. For the most part, it was a very peaceful, very patriotic event. I didn't even personally witness any violence. What I did witness was at least a few people that seemed to be playing a role, acting, for lack of a better word, tape-egging, right? I mean, it's from Ray Epps, who I had an encounter with atop the Capitol steps, to Elizabeth Koch, who made me believe she was pepper sprayed, but is in fact, there was no pepper spray deployed in the area where I encountered this girl, and kind of carried her from the Senate wing to the reflecting pool. As a matter of fact, you've probably seen her in a viral video holding an onion in a towel, talking about, it's a revolution, we're storming the Capitol, in front of Hunter Walker, the then White House correspondent for Yahoo News' cell phone. The people inside, when I was waving people deeper into the building, along with the police officers, and when I'd noticed this, I'd kind of turn around in the building and go back towards the door I had just come in, because I realize they're waving people deeper in. I don't know this building. I'm going to be lost in this big thing and anything could happen. I want to at least see the entrance I came in. If they ask us to leave and I need to exit, because they were kind of high-fiving everybody, taking selfies, the only question I heard asked by any police officer when I entered the building is, what do you guys want? And one person responds, well, we want to know when Trump's getting here. He said he was coming down and what Trump wants. And they, from there, it was just like, here, take a guided tour of the building. But fortunately, I didn't go deeper in where they were, because it seemed as though they ended up funneling a lot of people into that rotunda and trying to use their instigators, their crisis actors, their confidential human sources, whatever it is you want to call them, to try to rile more people up once they got into that rotunda and really cause some problems. Fortunately, there were a lot of good people there who kind of quelled those issues quick or just didn't play along and complied with the officers and got on out of the building when asked.
And, of course, the Capitol is secured by massive doors that are magnetically sealed. No entry could have been possible without instruction to open the doors, which I believe had to come from then Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, who's in charge of the Capitol Police. This was a Pelosi scheme, not only to disrupt arguments and discussion about whether there had been electoral improprieties which were taking place, but also, you know, to massively distract and smear from those taking place and get Trump. I mean, it was really quite a scheme. Now, Rafa, I've been very impressed. You're a brilliant guy. I like what you're doing with Woo's News. I want your thoughts. I'm pleased you've been championing Eric's case and bringing it to the attention of the public. Your thoughts.
Well, yeah, Eric contacted me a little later on into my investigation and into the January 6th fake insurrection. First started out with Alan Hostetter, who I think with your audience, first we need to, when we look at the information, we need to understand what is a paid protester or a crisis actor or someone who's performing. And who is a genuine Trump supporter? Who went out there, who traveled all the way out to Washington, D.C. on January 6th to see their president speak? They believe that that this election was stolen. Now, I don't agree with Trump. I don't agree with Biden. I don't agree with any president. I don't support any president. My favorite president was Zachary Taylor, who is the 12th president. So if that tells you anything. But I started to see this anomaly of crisis actors, people who are already there on the scene, and people like Eric Clark, people like Alan Hostetter, who just received an 11-year sentence and began serving his sentence a week ago today. And I have an update on Alan for those who have heard me speak and champion Alan Hostetter. But earlier, Eric Clark brought up the word kayfabing, which is a word that I use pretty often in Act Two. And kayfabing essentially is, in professional wrestling, kayfabe is the portrayal of staged events within the industry as real or true, specifically the portrayal of competition, rivalries, and relationships between participants as genuine and not staged. So oftentimes in the world of wrestling, these characters, these actors, will remain in character. They never break the fourth wall. All the cameras are rolling. So for your audience that doesn't know, I've been working on going on 3 years now. Well, it's over a 3-year investigation on January 6th. I released Act Two, which took 2.5 years to investigate, which unravels a chilling truth and takes our audience into a deep dive and proves the fact that the January 6th Capitol breach was no spontaneous event, but rather a meticulously orchestrated symphony of chaos and manipulation, and truly challenges our audience to question the boundaries between truth and fiction.
This audience, Rabbi, is fairly sophisticated. I have pioneered collaborative research exposing false flags and published books on Sandy Hook, Boston bombing, Orlando, and Dallas, Charlottesville. love it, Rabbi. So,
I just found out that this was banned.
Amazon banned it less than a month after it got on sale, even though it sold nearly 500 copies.
It's so well done. It's such a companion piece to, I believe his name's Dave McGowan, who did the Boston unbombing.
Well, I
spoke
a lot
about the Homeland Insurrection. The Homeland Insurrection. The Homeland Security Evaluation Program, which I bring in Act One, regarding the staged Ashley Babbitt shooting.
Yeah. I was convinced early on.
That's what I saw on January 6th. When I looked at that footage of Taylor Hansen and John Sullivan, that's the first thing I thought of was the Boston bombing.
Yeah, elaborate on the Ashley Babbitt shooting, because, I mean, it was all staged, all artificial. He shot without justification. It appears to have been a blank. They had a little blood packet. She falls back, but she's not actually, or doesn't appear to be wounded. They make some efforts, but they're feeble. No real blood, no real reaction, totally artificial. Right. Your further thoughts?
Well, I happen to have a background in acting. I went to school for acting, and so that's where I feel that, I mean, mind you, I've been breaking down false flags for 17, 18 years now. It's only the last 4 years that I've actually been doing something about it and exposing this and sharing it with the world. But it's exactly that. It's acting at its worst. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but there's a gentleman named Taylor Toronto who's standing to the left of Ashley Babbitt, who during an interview with Defender of Ants claimed that he believed Ashley Babbitt was a crisis actress using a blood squib in her backpack to achieve the blood effect.
Yes.
And that's from a gentleman standing to her left.
Yeah,
that's very alarming to me. And this gentleman, to my understanding, was placed into solitary confinement a week later. His name is Taylor Toronto. I believe, I'm not sure if it's out or if it's been published, but I know that there's a petition going around. If anyone wants to take a look at that.
This administration is so lawless, Raph. Petitions aren't going to make a difference. It's a good thing as a symbolic gesture. But these people have been incarcerated illegally, were denied a right to trial. They were denied legal representation. They've been subjected to cruel and unusual punishment. The whole thing was a fraud. And if Biden won't enforce the Constitution regarding these invasion of America, now where we have more invaders in a population of 33 different states, I mean, they sure as hell aren't going to do anything to bring justice to the January 6th, who were mere pawns, mere figures in a propaganda blitz intended to trash Donald Trump so he couldn't resume the presidency. More thoughts from you, Rafa.
Sure. The video that the documentary that I created was the first one, came out a month after January 6th. It's called Everything Wrong with the Capitol Shooting in 21 Minutes or Less. Now, Rumble and YouTube have banned this video. You can find it on BitChute. That's BitChute.com. I believe it's also on my Odyssey channel. And perhaps one day I'll re-upload it to Rumble. We'll see. They've banned it twice. This video went viral within days, and it's only 21 minutes long. And your audience can... I will walk your audience through from the moment that gunshot goes off, or supposed gunshot goes off, to the moment that the people in the room are giving their accounts or reports to the mainstream media. And we'll see the cops trampling through the blood, I believe intentionally. We'll see them place hats over the 2 tablespoons of blood that we see there in the vestibule of the speaker's lobby. So many anomalies brought up in just under 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
One thing that I did not touch upon, because I simply didn't know, was that in Chief Sun's after-action report, the Ashley Babbitt shooting is nowhere to be found. So definitely want to invoke your audience into finding Act 1. Act 1, as I mentioned, only covers this shooting, but Act 2, which came out 2.5 years later, begins in December of 2020 and ends at 2:12 p.m. because there's an Act 3 that begins at 2:12. Act 3 is what I'm currently working on now. And will be for the next several months.
Rafi, you send me the links to Act 1 and Act 2, and I'll definitely do something with it. And to the 21-second, I'll get it out there, believe me. This is too important. The American people just haven't really quite yet, I think they're on the verge of a tremendous breakthrough, begun to realize how often the government just lies, cheats, deceives, misleads, fabricates, prevaricates. We have the most disgusting administration in the history of the United States in Washington, D.C. today. And when it comes to, you know, deceiving the American people, they brook no prisoners. It's outrageous. Eric, did you ever have any reason to believe the Ashley Babbitt shooting was real or fake? Did that strike you one way or another from the beginning or your present state of mind?
Absolutely, Jim. Absolutely. I'm of two mindsets. It had to be one of two things. Premeditated murder, targeted individual, or staged. And I say that because I covered the Onion Girl and my encounter with her. Well, had it not been for my encounter with her outside the Senate wing door, I would have entered the building with all those people. However, this person pretending to have been pepper sprayed in an area of the Capitol where no pepper spray was deployed for 2 hours after the fact, after my run-in with this girl, right, is pretending to be pepper sprayed to lure me away from this initial breach crowd of people that Jake Chansley, Ashley Babbitt, that all these people were in. And you kind of alluded to it earlier, right? They go straight through the building and start opening other doors, like the magnetic doors. But they go to several other doors throughout the building. That initial people, they either all go to waiting photo shoots or to doors that just so happen to have protesters piled up outside of them where police lines had already been allowed to be breached, right? So how did they know exactly what doors, how to get to the doors in this maze of the building, what doors to go to, where the cameras will be waiting for the photo shoots? So I was intentionally diverted away from this crowd of people. And then also 10 minutes after the shooting, when I realized the officer is waving me deeper into the building, I turn around and I say, they're trying to shoo us deeper in, go back. And I start going back the other way. And a gentleman starts, this is 10 minutes after the shooting, mind you. A gentleman starts saying to me, this guy said a girl got shot. This guy said a girl got shot. But this gentleman was in the same area I was in the whole time I was in that area. He was in that area during the shooting. It was only 10 minutes after, so he's talking about a shooting took place. It seemed like he knew it was going to happen because he was nowhere near it.
Yeah, of course.
And now he's repeating it.
Yeah, of course he knew. They had to stage a shooting so they could claim it was a deadly event. See, they wanted that word deadly to be in all the propaganda they'd then distribute like a gusher across the media. Rafa, I got to congratulate you on keeping January 6th alive. It's such an important event as an inside job, a false flag right here of the American government on the American people right there in front of God and everybody. More.
Well, you know, I was in the beginning, I was waiting for somebody else to cover it. It was so obvious to me. And I waited a little bit longer. And still to this day, no one has covered it. And I had my suspicions already with this truth movement, this alternative truth movement. But nowadays, they're just confirming my suspicions by completely ignoring Act 1 and Act 2. So the people that promote and view Act 1 and Act 2, it's giving us, it's giving me more intel, more information along the way.
Well, Rafa, I'm absolutely going to...
It's very revealing.
Yeah, I'm going to promote it, but, you know, don't be too hasty. I'm part of that alternative truth movement. I've talked about January 6th many, many times. But a lot of us have not been aware of the brilliant work you've been doing, and we're going to remedy that, including, of course, today's program. But Pelosi, you know, I think she even had her son have video equipment there so you could record it. I mean, what more could you ask for in terms of proof that this was contrived? Yours.
Just to sell the footage to HBO, just like Taylor Hansen. How convenient. Just
elaborate.
So many of them.
Yeah, elaborate. Tell us more.
Alexandra Pelosi bringing a camera crew all the way down there. They're kayfabing it out. I believe Pelosi. I believe everybody in that room who's they're still going, by the way. You have to understand, they're going. the time frame in with which all these events happen, they strike certain characters from the House, from the Senate, only to leave certain dainty little Democrats behind. There's no rhyme or reason why they leave them there. But when we get to Obstacle 10 in Act 3, we'll see that our darling Democratic debutantes are still kayfabing it out, putting on these masks while all of our actors are flooding the longest obstacle of the day, Obstacle 10. And Eric and I have discussed quite extensively this idea of how the interior photo shoot, or the skeletons of the interior Capitol photo shoots work. And the entire event from the first person in to the Capitol to the last person out, it was very much like a haunted house. Think like the Haunted Mansion. Like a group of people go in and they stop at a specific area, at a rendezvous point, while the rest of the group goes through, and then they have to reset. Excuse me. So only certain people would be allowed in at specific times. They'd wait for whatever objective they have. Clearly, we're going to see that in Act 3. And so they want certain rooms to fill up. They want certain people to go this way instead of going this way once that room is full or what have you. So the entire thing is coordinated off. It's one big honeypot. It's to get people like Eric Clark, like Alan Hostetter. I believe that that is the ultimate goal, other than keeping it a national sensational headlines for the last 3 years that are going to get, you know, the Republicans in their feelings for 3 years. And the story's still going. It's still front page news. But I believe the through and through, the takeaway here was to get people like Eric Clark and Alan Hostetter behind bars. Like I said, I don't agree with Trump, but I believe that these people believe that there is massive tyranny going on in this country. At least they're in the right headspace in regards to something ain't right. Something ain't right in this country. You know, sure, you can get the people on to fight each other over who's going to be their, you know, who they're going to be a slave to for the next 4 years. But at least we're getting them, you know, outside the box in a way that your government is lying to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Eric, do you face imminent incarceration? What's your situation now? How dire is it?
Well, I have my trial starts Monday. I'm pro se. All the charges against me are misdemeanors.
Okay, we got a break here. We'll return with Eric Clark and Rafa from Ooze News. Lots to go for. Right back.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war
is coming. And it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, my guest today, Rafa from Moose News, has been doing documentaries about January 6th, keeping the issue alive, digging deeper, exposing truths that are very inconvenient and unwelcome to the Biden admin. And Eric Clark, whose trial, I understand, begins Monday. Eric, I wish I could tell you I had confidence in the judicial system, but just offer two counterexamples. We now have a trial for damages in the E. Jean Carroll case against Donald Trump, where she couldn't even remember the year in which she alleged to have been raped in one of the highest-end department stores in America, Bergdorf Goodman in New York. The story's a fantasy. In fact, it was so serious, she let the statute of limitations run out, and the legislature of New York had to make an exemption so she could bring her fantasy case against Donald Trump. A woman who's been raped, unless she'd been roofied, now he remembers the year, the month, the day, but the minutes that it took place. I mean, this is just ridiculous. Then in my own case, Rafa showed my book, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, where I brought together 13 experts, including 6 PhDs, and we established a school that had been closed by 2008, that there were no students or teachers there, and that had been a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control, where I even included the FEMA manual as Appendix A in the book. Well, I was sued, and they spent years trying to figure out how to do it, because when this happened, I released the book for free as a PDF. It had been downloaded millions of times, so they had to finagle a way that they could staunch the flow of truth about Sandy Hook. And they found 3 sentences in the book where I denied the authenticity of for the only one that was available at the time for Noah Posner, who was supposed to be the youngest member, where I now know even Noah was himself a fiction made up of photographs of his purported older half-brother, Michael Vabner, when he was a child. I mean, it's that blatant, it's that fake. And at the end of the second edition, which Rafa has, there's a final appendix by Kelly Watt about this possibility that Noah Posner looked so much like Michael Vabner, who's, by the way, alive and well and doing stand-up comedy in Cambridge, Massachusetts, that, it was a death certificate that was actually posted by the plaintiff on his own blog. It had no file number, no town certification, no state certification. Under Connecticut law, not even parents are allowed to have an uncertified death certificate, so I should have won this case slam dunk, because truth, of course, is an absolute defense against defamation. I even had two forensic document experts there who said that I was correct, that it was fake, as were three others that had been introduced into the case at that point. But the judge in Wisconsin is able to just set all the evidence aside as, believe it or not, unreasonable, and proceed with what's called a summary judgment, which is only allowed to occur if there are no disputed facts. It's supposed to be a way of simplifying, you know, the necessity to have jury trials in cases where there isn't any real dispute over the facts, so the court can simply apply the law. Well, Posner and I could not have been more opposite in the facts, because I would contain nobody died FEMA drill. I had the FBI consolidated crime report showing zero for murders or non-negligent manslaughters in Newtown during 2012. Zero. And all the evidence, the iconic photograph of the little kids was staged, because the Newtown photojournalist who took the photograph took an earlier photograph. Well, you see, there are a whole lot of parents there. They got their hands in their pockets, their arms full, they're just casually looking on. And you got the policewoman rearranging the kids to get a better shot. So they took a little girl in a short skirt and a pink sweater and replaced her with a taller little boy in a dark sweater and blue jeans. It was more photogenic. But the point is, it was fake. So I had a mountain of evidence. The very first ruling he made at the scheduling conference was that whether or not anyone died at Sandy Hook, I mean, he said whether or not it was real, you know, as I contend, it was not relevant to the authenticity of a death certificate for someone that purportedly died at Sandy Hook. I mean, it says right on the death certificate, even on the blank ones, it says he died at Sandy Hook Elementary School on 14 December 2012, a multiple gunshot wounds. I mean, how anyone could make that rendering is preposterous. But I was to learn, and I was pro se, you're pro se, I was to learn that you can just be sliced and diced. If you got a judge who's not really upholding the law or interested in justice, this was so outrageous how I was denied my right to a trial by jury in the case of massively disputed facts. I took it all the way to the United States Supreme Court. So and they declined to hear it, even though I teed it up. And the question has never been resolved before the Supreme Court of whether the Seventh Amendment, the right to a trial by jury, applies to all 50 of the states. There are 10, of course, the Bill of Rights, first 10 amendments, or the other 9 have all been affirmed to apply to all the states, not the 7th. So I teed it up for them, and I contrasted what happened to me in Wisconsin with what would have happened in Texas. Kind of would have been thrown out, or immediately, you know, would have gone to a jury, and I could have presented all my evidence. And would you believe the court declined to hear it? So in my opinion, we got 3 strikes against the Supreme Court, because we go back to the Texas case they brought about the theft of the election in 2020, and the evidence is overwhelming, including pre-election polling, exit polling, all confirmed Trump had a massive win, and yet the actual numbers gave it to Biden. The Supreme Court declined to hear it, even though it was obviously appropriate, a dispute between states, Texas bringing it against Arizona, Wisconsin, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, should have been heard, and it was turned down. Now we have this border support turned down. So you got on 3 massively important issues: the integrity of our electoral system for federal elections, the security, the safety of our border from invasion, and our right to a trial by jury in the case of disputed evidence, all of which have been abandoned by the Supreme Court. I hold them in contempt. So, Eric, I want to wish you well with this, but be advised, and I'm sure you know based on the experience of others, that you cannot be overly optimistic about how this is going to play out. But I have no doubt in your innocence. I don't have any doubt about it at all, because I've seen enough of January 6th. I know the whole thing was a sham, a total sham. And I admire and respect your pursuit of justice with going forward with a pro se. I can only If there were anything I could do, Eric, to aid and abet, I'd be glad to do it. Your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. I understand where you're coming from. However, I'm overly confident. I've given authority of my counsel over. That's why I'm pro se, because lawyers are pretty corrupt, I've found. And I think I have a good shot. Of convincing. I have a jury. I know it's a D.C. jury, but all I got to do is convince them that I'm getting that.
Eric, good luck with it.
They should listen to me. Should listen to the court.
Do you think it'll take more than one day?
Probably not.
Because I don't know. You and Rafa, let me know, you know, the outcome, and I'll get you back on, and we can talk about this as a follow-up, and especially if you're going to be subject to incarceration, let's get you back on here before that happens. Rafa, I want to turn back to you. You've done such great work on January 6th, but that's far from your only interest. You've been taking a deep dive into the death of the Crowley family in Minnesota, which was some kind of brutal massacre and been completely covered up. And I can attest to the extent to which it's been covered up by looking at a report from a private investigator who said there were no footprints in the snow, hence it was all internal, and that the death seemed to be all explicable by him having had a falling out with his wife, and that her blood, Allah Akbar, was painted on the wall. But it was nothing unusual about the bodies and all that. And you have, of course, properly pointed out to me that, in fact, the evidence is 100% opposite of what was being presented there and in the official police report. Please, Rafa, go for it. And by the way, we can do a screen share. If you want to show any images, I can make you host.
Sure. I mean, I was just simply going to showcase the investigation questions that I had. I think maybe when the audience becomes familiarized with the case, then we can go into some, you know, the records and the photos and things like that. Before we begin, at some point, I would like to discuss your being sued regarding Nobody Died at Sandy Hook. And I don't know if you want to do this now or later, but I would like to give the floor to Eric Clark to say anything, to say any closing words before his trial begins on the 29th.
Yeah, he seemed to have just stepped away from the camera, but
that's fine. We can discuss David Crowley now. For your audience, this would have been in the 2012 time frame, but David Crowley.
Here's Eric back. Eric, Rafa, go ahead.
If you want to stay on the line while I talk about David Crowley, you're welcome to. But it just seemed like, for the sake of the conversation, I think it'd probably wrap up nicely if to have you speak a little bit about some things before you go. Before I get into a completely different topic.
Eric, would you like to add further?
Thank you for that. Oh, just pray for us. Pray for all the January 6th defendants and all those that are improperly persecuted and prosecuted in this country. And that some truths get out. Definitely for my upcoming trial. I mean, I'm pretty set. It's like, starts Monday, it'll be over in a week, and whatever will happen, and I can move on with my life from there. So I thank everybody out there that has helped me financially as well along the way, right? But I'm good from here on through. If you do want to help out others, I know that I have a place to stay while I'm here during trial, thanks to an organization called APR. It's American Patriot Relief.org. And so I know they put they're one of those fundraisers or PACs, I believe they actually are, that put their money where their mouth is, that they help the people they say they're going to help with it. So
do you have a legal defense fund, Eric? Is there some place people could send money to support you?
Well, I have a GiveSendGo. I have a GiveSendGo.
Please give us the GiveSendGo.com
/. Give us the GiveSendGo, Eric.
Go ahead. What's the address? GiveSendGo.com/. I have one funding, Fetzer. What is yours, Eric? You got muted. You're muted.
You're muted.
Rabbit, he's been muted. I don't know why. Do you know the address? Do you know his GiveSendGo.com/address?
I don't. If he wants to text it to me really quickly.
There we go. Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got the searching through the browser. If you just go to Gibson Go and search Eric Clark, it'll pull up. It's a weird, it's like letters and numbers, right? It doesn't have my name behind it.
I see.
So if you just search Eric Clark, I'm one of the first ones to come up. All right.
Gibson Go. Just do a GibsonGo.com search for Eric Clark. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Eric,
I can drop a link in the chat for you.
Okay, Eric, you get back to me about how this develops. I want to have you guys back next week. Let's follow up. Thanks, Eric, so much. Rafa, go for it with the Crowley family.
All right. Thanks for coming on, Eric. I appreciate it. Anyway, David Crowley, who has been described as an independent filmmaker, wonderful filmmaker. Sorry, I live in Los Angeles, but... David had been working on a narrative feature called Gray State, which was a trailer during this time. And according to, so sorry about all that.
Keep going.
According to the concept trailer, which was released in August of 2012, it appears to follow the breakdown of American society. So we're seeing the FEMA camps, the actualization of the FEMA camps being American citizens under surveillance, under martial law, are placed into these FEMA camps. There's also the idea of vaccines and masks and a chip that's placed in the hand. And this was the project that David was working on, and it was pretty notorious for its time. And this was the big 2012 truth movement, We Are Change, the heyday of InfoWars, if you will. And this is what David Crowley was working on. And in 2015, on January 17th, his body, along with his wife's body and 5-year-old daughter, was found. Within 24 hours, the Apple Valley Police Department claimed it was a homicide-suicide, that it was a double homicide-suicide, that David did it, that David went crazy and snapped, that this conspiracy film, this conspiracy theorist, went over the edge and took it out on his family, but didn't kill the dog. And so I've been working on this case for 5 years now, and I've been working on it in the background of doing this January 6th investigation. And it is my intention, when I finish Act 3 of the Capitol fake insurrection, that I will jump right onto this case, because I'm trying to get the case reopened, which has been exceptionally cleared. So right now I'm planting the seeds to be married to different lawyers, attorneys, people that work in the art of forensics, anybody who somehow I may get to the district attorney, the city attorney, to get to some of these key people that could have this case reopened. My first step, because we submitted, there were several FOIA requests that were submitted, and we have thousands of pages regarding reports, police reports, financial statements, transactions, you name it, we have it. We have the autopsy reports and a few leaked photos of the bodies. So for me, the bodies, I need to find a way to get my hands on those bodies, on the photos of those bodies, the photos that were withheld from the FOIA request, because we have several anomalies, and I would like to read these anomalies to you, if that's okay.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I want that. Yeah.
Should anybody be listening that could help me get these gruesome photos, and you'll see why it's imperative to have these photos. So I create a list of investigation questions for the 9-year anniversary and your anniversary of finding the bodies. Sometimes this is not the easiest subject to talk about.
Sure.
Even after all these years. So question one, why isn't David's blood or tissue found on any of the bullets? Well, police say the lone bullet, item 57, that killed David, which was found on February 16th, 2015, a whole month after the bodies were discovered on January 17th. This bullet was never discovered by investigators. In fact, investigators learned of this bullet only after it was brought to their attention during a phone interview between a police detective and Chris Klein, a person who was in the Crowley home, along with Mason Hendricks, 2 days after the bodies were found. Question two, why was the dog feces never tested if police assumed the dog ate specific parts of the three bodies? David's head, David's right hand, are missing from the crime scene. David is right-handed, and his gun is found on the left side. Both of the hands belonging to his wife, Kamel, and the entire right arm, which was removed from the socket, of his 5-year-old daughter, Rania, are also missing. And this was ascribed to as apparent dog scavenging in the police reports and in the autopsy itself. Question three, why do police believe dog scavenging was the result of missing body parts? So Kamel was found lying face down.
This is the wife. Kamel is the wife.
Under her torso, his wife. No hands, but she was found her arms under her torso. And the 5-year-old daughter, Rania, was found tucked between her mother's legs, lying on the right side. So if a beagle was responsible for the missing limbs, how could Kamel be found? Basically, how is it possible that the dog ate the body parts that were not exposed? Furthermore, a knife was found at the crime scene, and their autopsies state that these cuts are smooth. So we have hundreds of photos of the crime scene, and we only have two leaked photos of the bodies. And yes, and one of the bodies you can see, it's a wide shot, but you can see that David is headless. It's not a close-up shot of his hand because there is a recliner that is blocking the view of his hand in this picture. So we have two leaked photos, and one of the regular FOIA requested photos of the crime scene, you can see David's hand, which is mummified, and it looks like this. I don't know how that's possible, but
I mean, the fingers are closed like that.
Yes, just like this,
as though that were his last gesture, or as though he did that when he was dying.
Anyone can go and look at the photo, and it looks just like this. Excuse me. Yeah.
Are you willing? Are you allowed to share the photos?
I could send.
I've made you host if you could. I mean, we could.
Oh, as far as that particular photo, I would have to search for it.
Or the photo that shows he's missing his head.
How about this? Wait, if we're going to take a break at some point.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I'll grab it.
At the bottom of the hour, but Rafa. Only if it's not going to be legally consequential to share it. I mean, you know.
We received it in a FOIA request.
Oh, good. All right. If you got it in a FOIA request, yeah, share it with us. Yes, no, we'll have a.
The leak, there was someone else, but a gentleman named Tony Floyd. Same FOIA request. For some reason, in his and what he received, there were two photos of the bodies that you can see. And thank God for those photos. Oh, and some of the autopsy photos that identify the various tattoos. They're close-ups of the bodies, and you can see the tattoos that were identified, that were used to identify David, Kamel, and Rania. Excuse me, not Rania, but David and Kamel. And
well, yeah,
for some of those photos, because it shows the advanced state of autolysis that these bodies were in. These were in a deep state of mummification. The bodies have been there, I believe, since the morning of December 26th. I believe that this event took place right before midnight on Christmas night in Apple Valley, Minnesota. And I'd like to share some more of these investigation questions.
Oh, yeah. You go for it, Rafa. The floor is yours.
Thank you. So the next question I would have is, what was the cause of Rania, the five-year-old daughter, what was the cause of her broken third rib, which was never determined? Why was the blood stain on the living room recliner chair never tested? This blood stain proves one of the three bodies were moved at some point. There was a large blood stain at the foot of this brownish-gray recliner that David is next to. But there's no body immediately where that large pool of blood is. One of the biggest anomalies with this crime scene is the lack of blood. We can't find David's blood anywhere.
Rafa, we're gonna hit that break, put together your photos and all that, and we'll pick it up when you come back. Right back. Okay. With Rafa from Who's News.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy.
But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Rafa from Woo's News and I are discussing the death of David Crowley and his family, which appears to have occurred on Christmas night of 2014, where the bodies were only discovered, over a month later, and had actually undergone a form of mummification, no doubt a function of the weather and the humidity conditions in the house, where there are startling discrepancies between the official police report, which claimed it was a murder-suicide, and even the follow-up investigation by a private investigator who claimed that there were no footprints in the snow that would have indicated someone from the outside had intruded into the home. And while there was her blood on the wall saying Allah Akbar, that there was nothing unusual about the bodies, when in fact Rafa has explained that his head had been decapitated and is missing, his right hand is missing, and various of her body parts, and that there were in fact lots of footprints in the snow. I mean, Rafa, this is just outrageous. This is such a blatant cover-up. I find it shocking, just based on the elementary facts as you presented them. You have the host. You can share any photos or images you like. It's all yours.
All right. I just want to make sure you can hear me.
Yes.
Okay. I've never shared a screen before. Can you see my screen?
No, only after you share it. Go down to the bottom, and there's a little green that says share screen, and then it'll open up to your screen, and then you click on what you want to share, and it'll show up on the screen.
All right. There's just a few photos. I mean, it says I have to quit and rejoin in order to share my screen.
I don't know why. I mean, I made you host.
What does that mean?
Well, by virtue of being host, you can do the share stream. You can have that control.
It's really up to you if you I've chosen some not so gruesome pictures, even though it's already gruesome anyway.
Rafa, these were released under Freedom of Information Act. I believe they're in the public domain, and you can share them. So if you can't screen share, maybe you go out and come
back. I'd have to quit and then come back.
Do it.
Okay. Be right back.
You got it.
Fill it for me.
You got it. We'll do our best. We have the problem that I actually ceased recording inadvertently when I did not intend to do that. So we'll see what we can have. We got a Mike Adams report here that is very good. I'm going to play here.
But also says or implies that Texas will not abide by the Supreme Court ruling that said Texas has to tear down its fencing and allow the invasion to take place. And so Texas is taking a stand. So let me read this letter for you from Governor Greg Abbott, and I really want to encourage you to support Governor Abbott if you're a Texan, especially let Abbott know and let Paxton know that you also support the right of Texas to defend itself. And here's the letter. Quote, the federal government has broken the compact between the United States and the states. So that's sentence one, by the way, and this is starting to sound a lot like the Declaration of Independence, by the way, already, right, where the king had failed to abide by its obligations to the colonists. And so the colonists said, I mean, I'm paraphrasing that, well, they're going to have to take matters into their own hands, essentially, because the king is, well, I guess in that case, committing treason as well. But let's continue. Okay, the federal government has broken the compact between the United States and the states. The executive branch of the United States has a constitutional duty to enforce federal laws protecting states, including immigration laws on the books right now. President Biden has refused to enforce those laws and has even violated them. The result is that he has smashed records for illegal immigration. All right, that's the opening paragraph. And I would add that as a result, the Biden administration is an illegal occupying enemy force that rigged the 2020 election. They were not elected. They do not represent the American people. And they are complicit with the enemies of the United States of America, because they are encouraging, funding, and allowing the invasion of the United States of America. Those are my words. Governor Abbott didn't say that yet, but that's kind of where things are headed. All right, continuing from Governor Abbott's letter. Quote, despite having been put on notice in a series of letters, one of which I delivered to him by hand, President Biden has ignored Texas's demand that he perform his constitutional duties.
Progress.
Bullet point. President Biden has violated his oath to faithfully execute immigration laws enacted by Congress. Instead of prosecuting immigrants for the federal crime of illegal entry, President Biden has sent his lawyers into federal courts to sue Texas for taking action to secure the border. Right. I mean, and that's insane. Second bullet point. President Biden has instructed his agencies to ignore federal statutes that mandate the detention of illegal immigrants. The effect is to illegally allow their en masse parole into the United States. And that's true. Third bullet point. By wasting taxpayer dollars to tear open Texas's border security infrastructure, President Biden has enticed illegal immigrants away from the 28 legal entry points along this state's southern border, bridges where nobody drowns, and into the dangerous waters of the Rio Grande, the river where illegals are crossing. All right, continuing. Under President Biden's lawless border policies, and I think that's the perfect description, more than 6 million illegal immigrants have crossed our southern border in just 3 years. Are you keeping track, folks? 6 million illegal immigrants in 3 years? I thought it was only five. Well, I mean, five is huge, but it's apparently six. That is more than the population of 33 different states in this country. Yeah, because this is an overthrow of the United States of America. This is an invasion, an occupation, and a replacement of the American people. This is an act of war against America. And what Governor Abbott is explaining here is that the Biden administration is engaged in war against America. This is treason, treason, treason. He says, Governor Abbott goes on to say, this illegal refusal to protect the states has inflicted unprecedented harm on the people all across the United States. And then he goes on to cite the founding fathers of America, the border wire to stop, or at least to attempt to stop, some of the illegal invasion. He is saying that the reason that we, Texas, had to invoke Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3, which is the right of self-defense of the state, is because the Biden administration failed to fulfill its duties that are called for under Article 4, Section 4, which says that the federal government shall protect each state against invasion. That's in the Constitution. So when the Biden regime utterly fails to protect states against invasion, and not just fails to stop the invasion, but when the Biden regime is complicit in the invasion, is funding the invasion camps, and you'll hear more about that from Michael Yon coming up here in the interview today, then that triggers Texas's right to self-defense. And additionally, Governor Abbott is making the argument that Texas's constitutional authority to defend and protect itself, quote, supersedes any federal statutes to the contrary. He's saying that the federal government has no power to order Texas to allow this invasion, or that the federal government has no power to stop Texas from erecting borders or boundaries to stop the invasion. And thus, the Texas National Guard is now acting on that authority and is re-erecting fencing. Now, a couple other things that have happened here that are very important to note in this story. One is that the governor of Oklahoma has said, essentially, we stand with Texas. And now Virginia has also said, we stand with Texas. So this is from Infowars.com. The governors of multiple states pledged support for Texas Wednesday amid a feud with the Biden administration over its right to enforce its own borders. Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin. Yeah, even Glenn Youngkin, who is, you know, an anti-Trump rhino, joined Oklahoma in support of Texas amid this standoff. And Glenn Youngkin tweeted out that Greg Abbott is doing the job that Joe Biden and his border czar refused to do to secure our border. The Biden administration has turned every state into a border state. We must stop the flow of fentanyl, save lives, and secure the southern border. That's Glenn Youngkin. And in addition, Governor Ron DeSantis, who, of course, recently dropped out of the presidential race, said if the Constitution really made states powerless to defend themselves against an invasion, it wouldn't have been ratified in the first place, and Texas would never have joined the Union when it did. Texas is upholding the law while Biden is flouting it. Florida will keep assisting
We got Rafa back. I'm very pleased to say. So if we can coordinate here, Rafa, let me see full screen. I'm going to make you a host so you can do your thing here. Go ahead. Give us a shot. See what you can do.
All right. Let's just make sure you can hear me first.
We can hear you fine.
Okay, great. So I would like to kind of lead people, one, where they can find the photos or some of the photos, and finish up these questions. Let's see.
Sure.
I guess I'll just hit share screen. I've never done this before.
Yeah.
So let's just do it.
Click at the bottom, share screen, and then
tell me if you can see it.
Yes, we can. The gray stage.
Yeah, this is the first time I've ever shared my screen before.
All right.
Okay. So at first, I'd like to go over can you still see the screen?
Yeah, no, I saw a whole bunch of pictures there before you turned. Yeah, I got it. Okay, you've got your questions here. Go ahead.
We just determined that Rania's third rib, which was broken, the cause of that was never determined. And I see. There's a large blood stain on the living room recliner chair. This is one of the stains, but this is not the stain I'm talking about. Here is the recliner would be here over in this area. To go through these photos, do we want to just...
You go ahead and hit the highlights. Just tell us what you most in the relatively abbreviated time we have left.
There's just so many pictures to go through and to find Welcome. Picture according to what the questions I'm asking. But I am happy to send any of these pictures out or to leave people there. But
don't worry about that. Do you have photographs that show the missing head, for example, missing hands?
No, I'm not gonna show that. I'll show. We did briefly talk about the hand, the posture of his hand, which will show the marked autolysis that was found present in David Crowley's body. So police found no latent fingerprints on the blood wall, but assumed David wrote Allahu Akbar in his wife's blood. Why are David's fingerprints nor DNA found on the blood wall? Now, here's the blood wall we see with Allahu Akbar written here. And this is Kamel's blood. Kamel, you can see, this is where Kamel is. This is Kamel right here.
Rafa, was that anything like the printing you'd get from David? I mean, why would they think that David had done this? Of course, I mean, the theory is it was a murder-suicide, in which case it had to be David. But, I mean, independent of the presumption.
Why do they believe David did this within 24 hours of finding the bodies?
Yeah.
That I am unaware.
I mean, is David...
I believe it's possible that that some of the people, persons of interest, at least in persons of interest to me, it's possible that they could have led police to believe this, that David, quote, went dark. David was on a spiral or descent into madness with this conspiratorial project, which, by the way, had an active deal out here in Hollywood, California, to sell his Gray State show, which would be turned into a television series. He was trying to get it made into a feature film, and Michael's Entertainment Group wanted to turn it into a television series. So it was a multi-million dollar project that David had sold after all these years of crowdfunding, getting the different trailers made, getting the trailers played on, you know, the We Are Change movements, the Ron Paul movements, and InfoWars during that time. David was going to move to Hollywood with his family.
Rafa, those contradict the idea of murder and suicide. I mean, this guy had so much to live for, including the fulfillment of this major project.
Yeah, so in this photo here, you'll see there were no fingerprints recovered. To me, it appears that somebody wrote these letters with a glove on. Now, what I find also very interesting is that there's no trail. So Kamel is, if you see the pink teapot, that's where Kamel is lying. And there's no blood trail from Kamel's body to the Allahu Akbar. There's no trail at all, which in my mind, you would have to have collected the blood somehow and then dipped your finger, your fingers into this bowl of blood or some type of container to hold the blood. And yet we don't see anything like that at the crime scene. We don't see any trail. We don't see any dish that held the blood. And we don't see David's blood anywhere, except we see David's blood on the inside of the Springfield XD magazine. That's where we see David's blood. But the bullet, the hollow point bullet that supposedly killed David, this lone bullet that supposedly killed David, that was not found for over a month, police left with four fragments. They have six casings and they leave with four fragments. Well, there's some interesting people that are in and out of David's house on the 19th. The bodies are found on the 17th. And now
of January.
Of January, yes, sir. Then on the 19th, some people in David's life were entering into that house. Well, the fifth bullet fragment was found the following day. when the cleaning crew came, when they rolled up the carpet, out comes the bullet fragment. See, so the bodies were left. But you can see already and that
why is there such a mess on the floor? Why is that floor so messy?
Exactly. We have the Quran was opened and ripped up and spread around the bodies. Now, mind you, this is hours later when the bodies are found. You can see they've already removed the bodies. Kamel and Rania are laying here, facing this way, while David was juxtaposed from them with his arms spread out, just like the crucifixion, with his arms spread away from him. So this recliner that we see is right here. And like I said, there's just so many photos to find the exact photo. If I had more time, I was just prepared to just go over the questions. But here is you can see that this is a large piece of part of the skull. Let me finish reading these questions and then you'll start to see why for the last 5 years this investigation has haunted me. So we don't see any of David's fingerprints on the blood ball. And we only find David's blood on the magazine, on the inside of the murder weapon, but not on the murder weapon itself. Next question, why is the only conclusive fingerprint tying David to the crime scene found on his notepad, but not on the gun, the blood wall, or the laptop in the kitchen? The pad of paper is in here. Everything is in here, like I said, with the exception of the bodies. But here is the, here's the notepad here. And look at that right there, Sandy Hook. Don't you love that? And here is Kamel's blood on this notepad. And if you actually read through some of these items, it appears that David is writing a script. We know he's just finished writing a third draft to Greystate because the police released his what's called a day one journal, which David was made a habit of keeping this journal and making regular entries. I found it odd that the journal abruptly ends on the 2nd of November, but regardless, we can get a better understanding of what David was going through for the last 6 months of his life because of this day one journal. But to me, it looks like these are different items that he either wants to highlight in his work. I have notes. I have notepads just like this in my own house. Let's see. So why was the slider glass door? Why was it left open? Now, this is the back door, and this door right here was left open. It's hard to see from this photo, but if anybody
go back to the door photograph.
Sure.
Yeah, close up on it.
Yeah, I'd like to find a better picture if that's possible. Like I said, I wasn't prepared to show any of these photos.
Let me explain
to the audience how I got there. If you go to thestage.wordpress.com and you scroll down a bit till you get past, that was one of the leaked photos. Sorry about that. But here we have the the crime scene images, and all the, we have the transcripts, we have all these documents. So you'll want to click the crime scene images to look at the photos, but then you'll go down more and you'll find you can link to the crime scene video. You do have to sign in. YouTube has it. You have to be 18 years or older to view it, even though it's all blurred out. These are really great finds for any anybody following this case. We have pretty much everything. What we don't have are those. Here's his day one journal. You can download and read. What we don't have are those gruesome photos showing his hand being cut off. And then here are the BCA crime scene images that will take you to the drop off.
Rafa, we're about to hit the heartbreak end of the show. I can't thank you and Eric enough for coming on. I want to feature you again next week when we have a further resolution of Eric's standing, but possibly Wednesday. Speak with Eric and see if we can set that up. It could be, I think, alternatively, possibly Monday, but I can't thank you enough. This has been completely fascinating. Hang around. I need to speak for you a minute or two after we finish the show. So this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, right here on Revolution Radio. Thank you for being here. Spend as much time as you can with your family, your friends, the people you love and care about, because we do not know how much time we have left.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Industrial Complex podcast here on Revolution Radio, Studio B, every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Get fit, empowered, physically, mentally, and spiritually.
My name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion.